Well, welcome back, ladies, to our Bible study segment. This is where we open up the Word, and we are taught from the Word. And today we are back in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. Thank you so much, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to come to, honestly, one of my most favorite portions of Scripture because it really brings me a lot of comfort. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open. We're going to be in Romans Chapter 7 today, verses 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do not do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. The law did not produce death in us. Sin produces death in us. The law enables us to recognize sin, to show us what sin leads to, death, and that we need to die to the sin in order to live. Through the law we see sin as utterly sinful. But the law also cannot deliver us from our sins. The law reflects God's holy character and is spiritual in nature. Yet, we are still stuck in these bodies, these fleshly bodies. Our flesh does contaminate pretty much everything we do, and it also gets in the way of our desire to obey God. I gotta tell you, this passage brings me so much comfort. As a believer, we desire to do what is good. Remember, there is no one who does good or seeks God without being a part of Christ. If we were still unbelievers, what Paul describes here would not be happening, because there wouldn't even be a struggle to do what's right. Yet we are not perfected the moment we become believers. We are being sanctified and are drawn ever closer to God, but we're not there yet. There are many times when I am in the middle of doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing it anyway, and I can't get control of myself to stop it. It could be something as seemingly harmless as sitting with a friend and realizing that we're gossiping about someone else, and instead of stopping right then and saying, I think we've drifted into gossip and I think we need to change the subject so we can honor God in our conversation, I keep talking. I might even think, well, let me just say this one last thing and then I'll stop gossiping, God. More often than not, I have those, what in the world am I doing, moments when I'm with my children. When my voice starts to raise and I start to yell. When the mere tone of my voice is enough to make a little child's spirit wither within them. I can see the damage being done. I even think, stop yelling at them or change your tone. And yet I don't stop and I don't change it. Afterwards, I apologize to my sons, but I'm left with a sense of, why couldn't I stop that when I was in the middle of it? I knew better, but I kept going. It's such an encouragement to me to have Paul expound on the same thing. What I have experienced is not uncommon to believers, to true believers. It's common to know that I'm not alone in not understanding what I do. To know that I'm not the only one to hate the sin inside of me, that I'm not the only one who agrees with the moral law that God gives us, knowing that means that I should stop whatever it is I'm doing, but I can't stop on my own. I'm not the only one who keeps on doing the evil that I do not want to do. That same war within me is being fought in other believers. That war is being waged against the Holy Spirit and God's saving power in my life and in yours. Nothing good dwells in me. I know this. I know that any good thing that I do is because of my Savior. The only good in me is His, not mine. When I strive to do what is right, evil is right there with me. It may be that I do a good thing, but I do it for the wrong selfish motive, and voila, there's that evil appearing in my motives, even as I do good. My soul delights in God, but another law is at work in my flesh, and it truly feels like I'm a captive in my own body. Our new nature, like Paul's, defends God's standard and shows clearly that the law is not to blame for our sins. We long in our new selves to honor the law and keep it perfectly because we recognize the righteous standard being set forth, but we're unable to accomplish this on our own. We agree with God against our sin when we've been justified by faith in Christ. Our old selves approved of our sins, encouraged us in it, and justified them. Yet, we are still personally responsible for our sins when it comes from our flesh, not from the new redeemed innermost self. It's almost like having an alien living inside of you who can take control of your body and make you do stuff you don't want to do. You can feel the palpable frustration and grief from Paul as he shares this, lamenting his own sin as he sees it in comparison to how holy our God is. That is the comparison we should be making, not, am I good according to the world? Do I look good to those around me? But am I good according to God? The answer will be no. In his eyes, we're none of us good, remember? Not even one. But look at verse 24. The word deliver here is one used to describe the way a soldier would rescue his fallen comrade from a battle, pulling him out of the fray. And Paul? He is certain that Christ will eventually complete the rescue when he returns. One sort of side note here. Don't get discouraged by the fact that you still struggle against your sin. That's actually an indication that the Spirit of God does dwell in you and you've grown to hate that sin. The struggle itself is a positive sign. Those who are dead in their sin, they love their sin. They have no desire to struggle out of it. The only way I know of to win this war is through Christ. I can't do it. Obviously, it's the sin in my own body that causes the war in the first place. I can tell you that while I struggle with the same sins over and over again, I've seen progress. I now recognize those sins while I'm in the middle of them instead of way after the fact. While that recognition may not stop me at the moment every time, it does shorten the duration of it. Because I'm fighting and gradually the Holy Spirit wins. Yay, God! One day I won't even have sin in my body to fight against. When Christ returns for us and delivers us from these bodies of death, we will no longer struggle with sin like this. But while we are here, we must learn to rely ever more on Him to pull us through, to stop us in our tracks when we are sinning, to show us clearly what we are doing and convict us of our sinfulness. So that we can see, too, that we've been forgiven. So that we can continually be forgiven. We are free from the condemnation of the law for our sin because of His sacrifice. Because His blood covers us. I don't know what this looks like in your life. I don't know what you struggle with the most, be it anger or self-pity or hate or greed or envy or whatever it is. I don't know what it will look like when the Holy Spirit pokes you and shows you what you are doing and tells you that you're sinning and you need to repent. I don't know how long or hard the battle will be for you. I don't know what roadblocks or U-turns you'll face. But I do know this. If you're relying on yourself to stop sinning, you're going to fail. Your very self leans towards sin, not away from it. Rely on Him. Rest in Him. Trust Him. Ask Him to work His miracle through your sinful flesh and keep asking and keep bringing it back to Him every day, every moment. Men have overcome horrific addictions to devastating sins because of our Father's work in their lives. And He can work a miracle in your life too to break that stronghold that you are in. What are you waiting for? Are you ready to be released from the sin that holds you captive?
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.